Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
A choice right now, between fear and love. It's just a rock.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound.
Very.
Expanding reality.
Chris Matthew, welcome back to the show. We are here to talk about all things awesome, but most importantly, your incredible new documentary. It's going to be linked down below, guys. You may find a few familiar faces from the show down there. Say that three times fast. Of course, his new film called The Doors of Perception. It's incredible. I mean, honestly, your first one, Cold Louisiana, absolutely amazing. Loved it. Then you came out with this banger, and I'm just like, okay, he's just doing this, and they just keep getting better. It's incredible, dude. So I want to also mention to our audio-only audience that we do have an incredibly cool artist today. It's our first ceramic artist, Molly B. of Molly B. Pottery. She made this cup that I have in my hands right now. I absolutely love it. We actually own... We are proud holders of five of her pieces of work there, and she's going to be throwing clay. Is it called throwing? Yeah, throwing some clay here as we're doing this. And again, it's our first ceramic artist for our Creative Expansion Artist Series. Extremely excited, and she is linked down below, guys. Molly B. Pottery, get some of hers up in your cupboard. There you go. Maybe that's your slogan, awesome. Molly, there. Get some of mine up in your cupboard.
Something like that. Excuse me if I get mesmerized by that and just forget where we're at.
This might be a bad idea, Chris. You and I are just going to stay here and be like, what? So audio-only audience, you may just want to come over here and all of us just watch Molly do this because it's awesome.
It's going to be an hour of us just drooling over clay.
I think she could say the same. Yeah. All right. So we'll all be drooling over clay here as we talk about cool things. Link down below, guys, all the ways to find both of these incredible folks. Chris, dude, new movie. First of all, how are you? Before we get into all the things, how are you? How's your soul? You calling your mom and them? Like, everything good?
I'm exhausted. I am trying to give myself as much of a break as possible. It's difficult because there are so many residual things that I put off for doing the film that I've got to get to, but... I'm good, man. I'm excellent. I'm, you know, riding that wave. I'm super excited at how everything turned out and the future possibilities. I already started to get everything together for part two. And a super secret announcement that I will be making today right now for the first time ever. Probably before part two comes out, I will have another film that drops. It's not going to be mine, but I will be producing it. It's going to be A Warning from History by Corey Hughes. It is going to be his JFK documentary. So please, if you guys would like to help support that, you can go to our website. You can drop us a little production donation because we are in, that's right, we're in the middle of producing that film right there. So we're excited about that as well. But yeah, man, exciting things.
How awesome. Tell Corey I said hi. This is his book, of course, guys. Warning from History. We've not had him on yet because he said, don't call me until you've read every single word in this book and you can say it back to me. And so I haven't called him yet, dude, honestly. We had a great time hanging out at your wedding and he is just so much fun to get to know, guys. So I'm so excited for you guys. Well, Tom, congratulations. Tell him I am going to break into this thing soon. It's incredible, dude. How badass. So are you guys doing any location shooting? Are you going to come out here to Dallas for a little bit?
I don't think so. He's going to be one of the main narrations in there. He's got a bunch of stock footage, and it's all his information. So We're just going to pretty much base it off of his work and a little historical narrative, and that's what we'll put together for you. And I'm pretty sure that it'll be very enjoyable, especially because of the information that is contained in it. So we're
That is
excited.
so cool.
Does he mention the new findings at all? Has he just echoed throughout your house with this?
Well, the new findings are echoing what he's already said for years, so it's not like anything new to him. Like he's reading through this stuff. He's like, oh, you said this, it's nothing new, honestly. Everything that he has in his book is contained in those documents that have just been released. It's crazy.
He was fascinated. We wrote up to when we married you guys, went up there, and Corey, of course, and you guys were roommates. So we all drove up together. He rode with us and he rode with me in the car, and we talked almost the whole time about this. And he was just going off on all of these connections I'd never heard about. Things I was blown away by. I'm like, holy shit, of course. Maybe that's why they had to release everything now, because Corey wrote this book, and they're like, well, shit, cat's out of the bag. This dude figured it out. And he's done incredible work on this.
It's funny because he gets so much hate from the JFK research community, those that have been the gatekeepers of the community forever. They do not like that he is bringing this information to light because it makes their information pretty much obsolete. So it's pretty crazy. The way the reaction has come towards this information, but it's becoming more and more undeniable as the real information comes out. So it's pretty cool.
Dude, I'm gonna go ahead and link Corey's book down there. You guys get a jump on this thing and send him some love from us. How cool though, dude. I
Definitely.
Cannot wait. How exciting. All right, well, what was
I
with the
know.
Doors of Perception 1? What's the inspiration for this? And it sounds like a series, man.
It's going to be two parts. I mean, we just had too much to go into one film. The Doors of Perception is really a culmination of everything that I've done my show about. This is really what I wanted to make my first film about, but I didn't feel ready to put together information yet. I didn't know how, so I went with Occult Louisiana, which already had most of that in my heart and soul already. So that was easy to kind of put out there, but the Doors of Perception, that was a lot of the inspiration of how to put everything together came from my own altered states experiences, meditation, psychedelics, things like that. And it's just really, like I said, it's a combination of everything. I wanted to show how these experiences, dreams, altered states, near-death experiences, paranormal phenomena, ET contact, have very profound connections, and they form these synchronistic stories between each of these types of experiences. And if you experience multiple, they are often weaved together in some very profound ways. But there's also the dark side of some of the experiences that I explore, and I'm going to get deeper into that in part two and weave in some of the Black Project aspects. We're going to get Ryder Lee in there to talk a little bit about some of the artificial mind control and synchromysticism that we are dealing with in our modern age. So that's going to be fun. But yeah, it's everything, man. We've just tried to put everything together and show how it's all connected.
Dude, amazing. For the audience out there that may not know what synchromysticism is, will you just give us your best take on it?
Sure. The best definition I could come up with is it is an intelligence or force or energy or all three that connects everything together, and it communicates with us in different ways. It can be through people, it can be through song, it can be through experiences, it can be through events, it can be through things that come into our point of view, things that either tell a story, lead us in a certain direction, give us answers in our lives. They can be through dreams. It's this mystical force that holds reality together and has a way of communing with us and guiding us along in certain ways. And I think we're all connected to it. It is connected to everything else. It could be what some people consider God. It could be source. But I think it's the storytelling mechanism of the universe.
Wow. It's what animates all of the cool shit around here.
Yes.
See, it's like this fog, or like this, like Carlos Castaneda talks about, you know, this permeating force that drives us, that motivates us, it speaks to us at different levels. It's like your soul narrative, right? And this is why perhaps some people can experience a strange phenomena, but describe it three completely different ways because it speaks to them personally. That's what's amazing about this realm. I sort of see it as a big escape room that we are looking forward to getting out of here, but it leaves you little clues. But this force that you're talking about, the synchromysticism, the way the clock works above our heads, things like this were left as massive clues for us so we could figure this thing out.
Yes, exactly. And I think the more we can tap into that, the more we can become aware of it, the more it works with us, the more it presents itself to us. And we can even add our own plot lines to it. We can change the direction that we're heading if we so desire. We seem to be the creators of this reality in a very powerful way, even though we don't realize it most of the time, even though we don't have full access to that potential. It's there, and this force seems to be like a concentrated, energetic version of all that we are that manifests in different ways.
Interesting. Like collective energy that is delegated to the synchromystic element to divvy itself out the way that it sees fit to alter the realm.
Yes, and it also passes through our individual filters of perception, the way we individually view the world, the way we see things, our fears, our joys, things that make us tick. It passes through those filters, and that will dictate how we experience life as well.
Is this just around everybody all the time, or do you think that this excludes a certain
I think it's always here, man. It's always here. We just got to become aware of it. It's right in front of our faces, dancing, mooning us, you know, flipping us off until we realize it's there. And once it does, it's like, finally, and then it'll start presenting more things, and it gets easier to communicate. It gets easier to understand the messages and feed into that as well. You can provide input to this force that will then work for you in certain ways.
That's the next question. Engaging the phenomena. How do we do that? How does it work for us? Are there do's and don'ts?
For me, I had to do this because I needed these answers. And for me, it was something that I felt was part of my mission here, was to have some sort of experience with this energy, with this force, with this intelligence, with something on the other side. And I wasn't experiencing it naturally. So I started with the only thing that I could think of is meditation. And man, did that work. I mean, I've told the story about how I made contact with this intelligence. That easiest way to describe it is a higher self, your best self, your celestial self, this intelligence that knows all, that is still part of you, that gives you little clues. And again, this could be the synchromistic force. It could all be the same thing, but I'll just, for the sake of this conversation, call it the higher self. But it started with that, and it was a process. I wanted to go as deep as I could and put myself through the most profound experiences as possible. And the way it was communicated for me to do that was psychedelics. And this was also integrated into the film in a huge way. Not only my experiences, but others, and the different layers and levels that can be accessed, not only for personal growth and healing, but to commune with whatever this force is, whatever this intelligence is. And I still couldn't tell you if it's all the same thing, if it's different things, if it's different spiritual entities, if it's an ecosystem of life forms, or if it's one grand intelligence that's fractalized into everything. Most likely that's what it is, but it can become so separated from itself that it seems like a completely different entity or intelligence. So either way, it's probably ends up being the same thing. But for me, that was the way. That was through psychedelics, meditation, getting in touch with my dreams, and then in my waking life, becoming aware of the synchronicities and following them and trying to decode those messages on a daily basis. And that is how I really communed with it and was able to learn about it the best way possible, is to experience it myself.
Do you think that there's anything to be reticent of when exploring that realm?
Oh, yes. You definitely have to. First of all, I don't recommend psychedelics to anyone. This was my journey. This was my thing. I think if you're going to have experiences with that, you should do your own research. You should do very thorough research. You should approach it with respect. And you should be very careful. You should also have probably a babysitter if you're going to do something like that. But yes, I had my own learning experiences was experiencing the most terrifying of terrifying and the most beautiful of wonderful experiences. I did not really have a babysitter besides, you know, Jen was there most of the time to make sure I didn't jump out of a window or anything. But these were all very experiences that I had to go in by myself, and I didn't feel like I should have someone guiding me through anything because I wanted to guide myself to what was most important in my life. And I hear about people going to ayahuasca retreats and these different ceremonies where they have a quote unquote shaman guiding them to whatever they need to take care of. And I never understood that. How is this shaman going to know what's best for you, where to guide your consciousness that is going to do the optimal healing for you? So I learned very quickly that it's very difficult once you start going in there, especially if you're new to those experiences and you've got a lot of gunk, a lot of trauma, a lot of negative experiences that you've never faced or worked through. Those are going to show up, and they don't show up in the form of little lambs or angels. No, they're like creatures, demons, negative intelligences that present themselves. And if you try and run away from them, if you try to ignore them, they get bigger and scarier, and they will wait for you for the next time you go back in. They'll be like, hey, bitch, are you backed again? And until you face them head on, they will still be those evil things. But once you face whatever the representation of that trauma is, and you face it like you're slaying a demon, it becomes something different, and it transforms in your life. Now, for me, there was that level of intelligence that represented my inner fears and traumas, but there was also what I considered something else. Other things that appeared as extraterrestrials, things that appeared as quote-unquote gods and intelligences. And I still could, like I said earlier, I couldn't tell you if that is what they were appearing as because that's what they were, or they're just representations of my inner verse, of my inner universe, or our collective universe. If I'm tapping into, I believe we each have that inner universe, but that's also connected to the collective outer universe, which includes all of our thought forms and whatever these intelligences are. I do believe that we are expanding that level of awareness to probably those collective realms, and I think that's where the danger comes in. I think that's where you can get those nasties that don't have your best interest in mind. I think the ones in our universe that we're facing, even though they can appear as terrifying and horrible, they'll still want to do that healing. That's why they're presenting themselves. They want to be healed. But things out there that we come into contact with may not have our best interest in mind. And I'm not just talking about other people's thought forms and egregores and nasty shit. There's some weaponized frequencies that you can come across when trying to traverse these astral realms. There are things that the military-industrial complex legit puts in place in these realms to latch onto people's consciousness, to screw with people, to harm people, to experiment on people, to learn from people. And the more I hear about this, the more I really believe that this is possible. And that's why I said I'm going to have Ryder on for part two to get into the more darker realms, the weaponized realms of consciousness that we really need to be aware of, but that can also be manipulated to appear as anything, to appear as beneficial, but it is something that is not benefit. It's something that is actually there to harm you in some way. So, yes, you got to be very careful and discerning when you are trying to attempt to connect with any of this stuff, I believe.
Dude, could not be more right. And I'm gonna come back to the weapons, the psychic weapons, as they were, because that's a fascinating phenomena. People remote viewing, getting blocked, turned around, entities yeah. there, giants, all this kind of stuff. So let's come back to psychic warfare. But I'm curious about what you said again about your inner verse. I think that that is fascinating, man, because whenever I think of these little things inside of us, right? You know, we're all, and again, this kind of, because your movie title, Doors of Perception, is perfect because it depends on your paradigm, right? And your paradigm is defined by your experiences and beliefs. So we've experienced up to this point, which has included all the folklore, all the stories, all the things, church and all of it, but then also your beliefs about those things, right? And so you may have experienced some things that you don't necessarily consider true, actual experiences that you had, but your mind has trouble interpreting them. People have this in childhood trauma quite a bit, which is fascinating to me, that your subconscious, your mind will say, look, this is too heavy for you, what you experienced in this realm, that you came to experience heavy shit, but this is a little too much. So we're going to block this away in a way that you're never going to be able to access it. And people will go their entire lives without knowing that their dad raped them or something because it was so traumatic. But this is the thing. If we're able, if the body keeps the score and trauma clearing is the name of the game here for us to live comfortable, happy lives, or at least healthier, happier lives, then how are we able to access trauma if not all of it's accessible? And I think of whenever we go into these psychedelic realms or whatever, that really what we're tapping into, sort of my inner thoughts lately about it is, because I externalized all this stuff at first, like most of us. But lately I'm like, man, all that shit was me. Because I haven't heard of any shared psychedelic experiences. Meaning like when I see that leprechaun running around, but chased by two small dragons on fire.
I got to tell you about some of the ones I've had.
Have you really? Man. Okay, then let's talk about shared psychedelic experiences. But what I mean to say is that they seem pretty particular to you, right? Pretty subjective to the experiencer. And in this, I would think that then it's just those little parts of you that weren't able to be brought forward that maybe compartmentalized, that are now little egregores or little monsters running around in your subconscious. And then I think about this place and think that our entire realm may be one of these pockets of isolation within another consciousness that's just sort of stuffed us off somewhere because it can't go to a job at the post office in its galaxy. And we are the ones kind of doing this inner healing, but it's sort of, again, this idea of trauma all the way down. If we've constantly compartmentalized things within our subconscious, then isn't there an infinite realm of possibilities of compartmentalization that we don't have access to, possibly?
100%. Yeah, man. It took me years to just get through some basic layers of trauma just because how difficult it was because of the way it presented itself. And if it's locked away behind layers of monsters and dragons and inner beings, that's got to be some pretty tough stuff. But in order to get through it, like you said, it's most people will never be able to get through those deep layers. And then they have, on top of that, the ones out there that we'll get to that when we get to the weaponized things, but there are ones out there that are intentionally have these different compartments created, which is scary enough. But it's pretty incredible. Once you start to unpeel those and you let that Pandora's box out, if you don't address each and every of the one of those things that starts coming up, it's going, like, even if it's a trial, if it's a childhood trauma, especially that you've locked up in a box, it was safe in that box. It was, but you're not going to live your full life. But if you start to let that thing out and you don't slay that demon, if you just open the box and let it come out and play, that is going to cause worse problems for you than going through the whole healing process of holding that demon's hand, trying to hug it, give it a back rub, you know, things like that. That'll get it to transmute into something else, whatever you got to do. But you have to make sure to follow through with all that stuff, because it starts coming out in dreams. It starts coming out in like anger at people that you like, where the hell did that come from? I just yelled at grandma, you know, things like that. So that's another precaution that I would tell people. Absolutely. Finish up your work.
Dude, right. Well, and this is interesting too. When we think about scary demons that are within our subconscious, it's almost like our little childhood version of us created this guardian, this sentry that would keep it safe so it can stay in the box and stay hidden. But this egregore that it created is now the one that you're battling. And so really, it's not a giant minotaur with blood fangs. It's a five-year-old version of you sending a mental projection at you, because that's the way it feels to that five-year-old. That's the defense mechanism it has against whatever happened to that little kid, right? So this is the inner work, is getting through the things that scare the shit out of you, because that little kid needs you, you know?
100%. It's pretty crazy the extremes that can come out of our consciousness and the personalities. Like, yeah, it's like we have a whole world, dude, in there. If you hear some of the MK Ultra stories, are terrifying, by the way, that people are forced into these alternate personalities. They're like a spectrum. You have the shy little girl, you have the sex pot, you got the demonic monster, the killer, the assassin. Like, all these different things can be pulled out of one single person. It's like they have an access to an infinite universe. Did they create that within their own mind, or are they accessing that from something else? If you hear Dr. Tom Zinser, who works with multiple personality disorders, he believes that in the most extreme cases, we're going beyond that interverse and we're letting in something from out there, a nasty from out there that wants in, because in here, it's living a life now. It's basically taking on a body. It has something to possess, and it's able to experience the human experience. But it's a nasty, like, negative intelligence. And he believes that is what's happening in some of these most extreme cases with dissociative identity disorder, is they're latching on to something that's not from our natural innerverse and doesn't have our best interest in mind and just wants something to inhabit, which is crazy.
God, that isn't crazy. That is crazy. Because, again, back to the thing, if you think about it, whenever I've had challenges with my mom, it was a hurt version of me that showed up to speak for myself. It wasn't me. It wasn't the mature guy that had his shit together. It was a hurt version that possessed me and then jumped out and then it just took over. And this is why I think it's very important to sort of get your shit together. Take all your shit, put it in a bag, get it together, right? And within this, you're able to identify the different personalities within you. And it's fascinating what you said about the multiple personalities. We had Serena Faith Masterson on. Have you had her on?
No.
Okay, got to get you in touch with her. She has 307 different personalities of some type that were from MK Ultra programming. And dude, she has a personality that went under in surgery that was fine. Went under, no problems. But in the middle of surgery, she switched to a personality that was immune to anesthesia.
Oh, wow.
And woke the fuck up middle of surgery. How does that happen? How, like, that blows my mind, dude. But she was so severely traumatized, dude. And her story is just, you can't let her tell the whole thing, honestly. It's just traumatic. What happened to her as like a baby, like everything was just so fucked up. But it made her into this incredible person. She's over in Portugal now with a good friend of ours. I'm going to get you in touch with her, like I said, to get her on. But that is one of those cases to where they took a full, beautiful, bright light of a child, a tiny little infant baby, and fractured it and separated it so much that it created all of these different alternate personalities. And some of them could be controlled and manipulated. And then when she was brought back to another, didn't remember what those other personalities were getting up to. This is where the Manchurian Candidate type stuff happens, man.
100%. Yeah, dude. That's some very terrifying stuff, because the levels that the mind can be manipulated just through trauma.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. And unfortunately, most of these people that are subjected to these, they're brought into the program by family members, close,
yep, it was their parents,
people who are close to them, and they never stood a chance. So it's, how is, you know, that's a complete violation of free will. And this is now, I believe it's moved on to the mainstream sector where they don't have to take kids anymore. They can just drug them up on pharmaceuticals, get them some online buddies that don't have their best interest in mind, start programming them a little. You know, next thing you know, they're involved in some kind of mass shooting or something like that. They are, I think they're programming these kids to be involved with things like this, and they don't even have to be go through these full-on programs anymore. They can just have access to certain websites, social media, and drugs, and boom, you got yourself a little Sirhan Sirhan.
Damn.
I do my best with these ideas and the observations I have around the realm to justify their existence in the name of ascension, or the name of that's what God wanted to do. Now, I've had a lot of tough talks with myself about why God likes rape and war and famine and all that kind of shit all the time. So the question is then is if these things are a gift to the realm, as I am doing my damnedest to present them as, where's the gift in this being present out here? What's its purpose?
This is it's just as tough for me as it is for you. Because, like I said, we look at the people who go through these horrific things, and it's hard for us because we weren't subjected to things like that. So, but I do also have to look at the people that I speak with and the people that they are today versus the people that they were describing that went through this. They are, like you said, most of them are very healed, very wonderful people now. They're involved with some great things. And, you know, I can't say that this was an agreement that they made to come into this incarnation and get tortured for the first half of your life so the next half will be beautiful, but maybe it was. I just couldn't answer that for anyone. All I know is that once we start looking at the deeper layers of the control system in this reality, it becomes hard to align with this realm as a beautiful place for us. You know, it does not seem like it is for us. It Very seems confusing. Like it's for someone else, and we're just running the thing. You know, the more you look into that, that's what it comes out. But again, I have to go back to maybe this place is for someone else. It's to run a certain thing. But maybe that's part of the grand video game that we're in. Maybe we're just in this level right now. Maybe it's just this level 6. Everybody hates level 6. You got to go through it, though. You can't warp from 6 to 8. You got to go through the, you know, the MK Ultra shit realm. But and after you get through it, you learn some things, man. You're a powerful being for putting yourself through this shit realm and being subjected to it. But it's not all shit. Like, my life is beautiful, man. I make the best out of the prison system that I'm in. You know, I put some flowers on my prison walls.
It looks beautiful. Yeah, you decorated it quite nicely. As am I.
And I, you know, I have a pretty damn great time, and I'm trying to do not even beyond the best that I can here. I'm trying to always keep expanding on the possibilities of what I could bring to this reality. And hopefully one day I'll bring a key to bust that bitch open. Who knows? But I'm going to keep trying to just make my immediate reality and what I can offer everyone else to bring for their own reality is something that resembles a peaceful, happy, harmonious existence, which it does. You know, I'm not in some sort of third world prison right now. I'm happy. I'm free for the most part. I can walk down the street. I can go to the grocery store. I can have a good time with friends. You know, I can even still fly places. Although I have concerns about the direction that we are headed in this technocratic society and the new administration that we are subjected to. I do have concerns of the hypnosis that is coming over people right now when as it relates to the technocratic slave system just a rolling on out, and we're just like, oh, look at that. It's like a parade.
No, pretty lights.
But, yeah. So, yeah, that's concerning. But again, I'm going to keep focusing on how can I make, you know, my energy bubble resonate across the planet to where it can bring some glimmer of hope to someone else's energy bubble. And maybe that'll just, you know, burst into something huge one day. But that's where I'm at with it. You know, I think we're just in a shitty level of a game right now. And we just got to get past this.
I said, if you don't love me at my samsara, you don't deserve me at my nirvana. You know, is that what the realm's saying?
That's it, man. Let's see. You know.
Okay, all right, go through your Bronze Age. Golden's right around the corner. Interesting. Yeah, and maybe it is just sort of some pay it forward type thing. And we're having a blast while we're at it. Or, you know, and maybe our realm is the whole point of our louche and everything is to run Molly's pottery wheel there.
That's
and perhaps
it,
that's
dude.
Worth it because we get some dope shit out of it. Again, she is linked down below, guys. Check out this amazing artist.
Yes.
Absolutely
dopamine
incredible.
Dopamine levels coming from that, looking at that right now is worth it.
If she put a little spiral on it, she could probably hypnotize people, you know, with it. It's because I'm mesmerized by this. I've seen both of us actually look down there and we're just staring at her going through this. It's fascinating.
Every couple
it's
minutes, so, it's just like, oh, yeah.
This is why we do it, by the way. It's just so cool. It's just so, and she's phenomenal. I want more people to know about her work. Okay, let's come back to psychic warfare. Let's talk about this because it's fascinating. I heard an interview with a lady talking about she was remote viewing Antarctica. All of a sudden, she was walking through a base, and then there was a giant there. This giant flicked her and her astral body and flicked her out of the base. She then did something to cloak herself and went back in. I don't know why you wouldn't just do that to begin with. Went back in and walked down the hall, found a door, a very small room inside this facility where two military personnel in fatigues were sitting there with their eyes closed, and they were projecting the thought forms, and they were astral patrolling the base. From inside of it in their physical bodies. What do you think about all that?
Man, I think I think there's something to it. I really do. I forgot who it was that I was interviewed recently who was discussing this very thing. And I was talking with Ryder about this. He's talked to plenty of the remote viewing guys, the former CIA guys, and they are completely of the belief that there are individuals that can project themselves into these astral realms. But not only that, it can go as far as them projecting a manifestation, like a ghost or a spirit. And this is where the Skinwalker lore comes in. This is where you hear from the Uintah Basin the stories of the Ute tribes wearing the pelt of the animal that they want to become, and then they're projecting that animal. And that's why it looks so messed up, like a, you know, a hologram, or it's kind of dissolving or falling apart, or doesn't exactly look like what it's supposed to be. Yes.
Yeah.
Or it can morph into something else. I do believe that that's a very real thing. I think that they people are trained to do shit like that and guard these powerful astral places and realms. And I do believe that there are those dangerous thought forms and intelligences in those realms as well. But what's really concerning about the era that we're in right now and the technocracy and the frequencies that are surrounding us is I was talking to who was it? They're going to be on my show soon, but I'll remember the name in a minute. They were discussing the new energy grid that they're putting up around us, and it's already been in construction for a long time. It includes the 5G. It includes everything else, but it's like a flower of life type energetic grid that they're surrounding us, of course, the United States, probably the planet with. But what it does is it's a false etheric reality, and it can project things, and it can not only project visions and beings and entities, but diseases and sickness and thoughts and feelings and emotions. And they're going to have supposedly complete control over everything with this etheric energy grid, to where they can make you go crazy if you want. They want to. They can make you see a ghost, a demon, an alien. They can make you drop dead of cancer or heart attack. It's all going to be controlled by this these frequency grids, which we know that frequencies are everything. They can control basically everything in our body. Everything from the brown note to having our brains explode, you know? So this technology is out there. And if that's true, that's very concerning, because we're going to be like in a matrix within a matrix within a matrix.
Damn.
You know, and they already say, like, what baseline reality, there's a like 0.000 something percent chance that we're in baseline reality right now.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? It's crazy.
This times well with the Phoenix cycle and what Howdy Mikowski has been talking about the resets and things like this, you know, this maybe plasma apocalypse type deal. And what they do allegedly is they get right to the end to where it's at its most oppressive and it's at its most sweet. They're like, oh man, this is just a loose machine. And then they streamline the thing. But before they reset everything, they make a copy of the realm at its most the way that they want it. Because what they then do is just build on the copy rather than starting over, which is allegedly the reason of why the pyramids and all these other structures have been left over. And I've thought about this, like why the giant tree stumps, why the giant titans, why the pyramids laying around broken, right? And it's because allegedly they were from another reset that got transferred over, but they were just sort of structures now. They're not functional mm-hmm. because none of the environment's the same, the ether's not the same. All of it was from a different version of our realm that just, it won't function like that anymore. Again, allegedly.
But have you heard the new news about what they found under the pyramids?
You know what? This morning, actually, I messaged Larry Paul. Yes. And then he wrote, I'm going to just read this to you because he wrote the most. You know who Larry is? Have you had him on yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. He's the president of the American Pyramid Association. And he wrote me a message back because I tagged him in that video. And he said, I love Larry for this reason. He wrote skeptical, period. Not one of the chambers and passages predicted by the SARS has been verified. Not one. I'll wait for that. Until then, I'm not a believer. I love this guy. And I just wrote him back. I love you. Love your mind. I love your intuition. We'll talk soon. And this dude is, you know, the guy that we will be going to Egypt with for our first time. He invites us all the time. On. He does these incredible tours. We'll line it up to where we can go together, dude. He does this like 7 pyramid tour down the Nile. And you take like horses to some of it. You take 4-wheelers through the desert on some of it. Incredible. This dude weighed in on that. But what I do find fascinating about new information coming out about archaeological sites, does that ring a bell to you? And what we're talking about the new grid, being able to project any image in your mind linked to new discoveries found in old archaeological sites, is there a narrative floating around in conspiracy land that...
Well, here's the best part. We live in America. That's in Egypt. Most of us are never going to be able to verify any of it ourselves. And we are subjected to a world, this... other matrix world, which includes what we see on TV, social media, what we scroll through on our phone, our computer screens. But is that real? Like, how much of it is part of this reality? I think that most of the political and wars that we see, that there's some theater in there. There's some big time mm-hmm. theater mixed into all of that. So how much of that is quote unquote real? How much of these discoveries across the planet that we can't verify are going to be, you know, as real as they say we are? Does Egypt even exist right now?
This is one of my favorites, you know? I mean, obviously, because it's the great philosophical. If a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Clearly not, because there's no realm being rendered there, right? This is the thing I talk about. Like, behind you, there's no realm rendered there. A camera will tell me that a realm is being rendered there because I expect it to. Same thing with you. You're not there to put hands on it. But what I do find fascinating is when you do go out to these sites, and this is another thing I'm going to encourage you and I do, and everyone out there, actually, go to these fucking places. Actually, right now, whoever you are and you're listening to this, there is a courthouse building in a small town near you that you should go check out. Read the plaque. Mary and I went and did this for our 10-year anniversary. We did a small town Texas tour through the hill country, and it was a blast. We hit like 7 or 8 different courthouses, small town, you know, 2-lane roads in between. And it was fascinating because these things are thrown up in 2 years. You could see the red, white, anode, cathode. They're obviously buried structures, you know, or uncovered structures. So this shit's all around you. And when we get out there, then we don't have to rely on the scans of others and the eyes of others, right? When we went out to Utah, to a petroglyph site, everybody's walking around in all this. Dave Warner Matheson had given a presentation about Orion, Ophiuchus, and the stars the night before. We go to this site in Zion there, and I'm looking at these petroglyphs, and I'm like, holy shit, that snake right there forms Orion's belt. And I call David over. I go, look, it's even offset. He goes, you're right. And then another one was Ophiuchus, because you could tell by the orientation and position. He had just talked about it the night before, but nobody's talking about this in the historical record. Nobody's tying it to the things that we are. So this is what I mean. Get your ass out there. Like, go see these things. When we go to UK, we're going to go to the Roslin Chapel. I want to see all that shit, right? And not take it from somebody else's word. We have a friend of ours in Paris right now, and she's walking her going, around going, look, pine cone. Oh my God, look at this. Look at it's amazing. Cause you get us out there with our eyes and now there's no chance, you know, for the lie to stand.
Yeah.
Incredible.
100%, man.
Have you gone to any place like that? Traveled around and seen something that you wanted
not.
To?
I mean, I've gone to Utah, I've seen the petroglyphs. I've been a few places in Florida, Louisiana, out here in Colorado. Visited a few places in California, but not really the you know, mystical places that that you're describing here. The most is the petroglyphs in Utah, and there's a few cool places out here in Colorado that have some petroglyphs as well, and some old cave systems, things like that. But I would love, man, you're absolutely right, that's where it's at. You got to go and experience those things yourself and debunk that shit.
Yeah, debunk it with your own fucking beautiful eyes, you know. You got Mesa Verde down there too in the corner of your state. Have you ever been there?
I have not yet.
Bro, let's go. Let's go to Mesa Verde. I saw it on a textbook when I was like 8, and it just stuck in my crawl. Like, I was just blown away by the whimsy and wonder of it all.
Hell yeah.
Dude, okay, so are we more psychic warfare? Do we have any more on that?
I just think that we got to be careful in the times that we're headed. We have to start with these breakaway civilizations, our breakaway communities, our breakaway jobs, break away from that shit as much as possible. Start homesteading, get these communities going. And that's the answer there to the only answer to those, you know, psychic warfare weapons of your consciousness.
Yeah, if you don't want to be in a war, stay out of the war, right?
That's it. That's
all right. Stay your ass in your body. How about that? Okay, so shared psychedelic experiences. Again, I've taken a lot of psychedelics with a lot of folks. None of them have seen what I saw when I was seeing it. Do you have any examples of
this? This is interesting. I do. I have a couple. But none of them were on magic mushrooms, and none of them were in my recent years. This was when I was a teenager, and it was on LSD. The first one was me and a few friends were standing outside of someone's house. We're waiting to go to a concert in New Orleans, out of our minds on a couple of hits of LSD. First thing that occurred is we were doing for some reason, gymnastics in the front yard and seeing, you know, how to the extremes we could do it. And I still to this day couldn't recreate it. I did a front flip without any effort, and I was just like landed on my feet, and everybody's like, whoa. And I was like, I don't know. I was too scared to even try it again. It was crazy. I was out of my mind, but it was fun. But the first thing was we all looked over and saw it looked like three hooded midgets peeking out from the bushes. It might have been because one of our friends said that first, and we all just looked over and just, you know, it just appeared. But he's like, hey, you see, there's like three little hooded dudes over there. And they kept on peeking over the bushes, and we went over to the bushes, and there was like nothing there. So that was the first thing. The second thing, it was absolutely nuts. And this, again, I was a stupid teenager. Do not try this at home ever. all on lots of LSD, and one of my friends on just as much LSD as I was driving his truck to New Orleans, and we're in this truck as he's driving, and all of a sudden it's getting really intense, and we all at the same time said, look at the road. It starts like, it was like swaying. And he's like, no, I'm going to have to pull over. And then he holds out his hand. He's like, look at my. And we all saw a Mickey Mouse hand, like huge. He had Mickey Mouse hands, and they were on the wheel. And he's like, what the hell? I got Mickey hands. Like, we all started yelling at the same time. I don't know how he pulled over. He managed to pull over. We came scattering like ants out of the truck and running all over the place. Like, what the hell? Luckily, one of our friends was following us, and he was not on LSD. And he's like, look, leave your truck parked there. Get in with me. Y'all are not going to make it. So, yeah, dude, that was crazy. Like, till this day, I never experienced anything like it. But we all saw those big ass gloved Mickey Mouse hands on that dude. It was crazy.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's one. I'd say the first one could have been influence is the only reason I'm a little skeptical on that one. And influence. I appreciate that you brought it up. But
when I talked to everyone after, I said, was that the first thing you saw when he held up? You saw big Mickey Mouse gloves, right? They're like, yes, dude, he had Mickey Mouse gloves. Big, huge white ones.
Okay. So shared anime experience. And it's still evil because Disney, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. I saw somebody had a coffee cup, actually, and this is maybe an idea for you, Molly, but not as evil, is there was a coffee cup that it said Mickey right here on the inside, but when the liquid level was just underneath it, the reflection of it says wicked. If you inverse the word Mickey, it says wicked.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's so much with Disney that is just sickening and disturbing. You go into those Disney rabbit holes, you're going to have to take a shower after, bro.
Did you hear about the dude? And this is the most conspiratorial thing I'll say about it, is the dudes whose wife died from getting something that she was allergic to in Disney. But because he signed up for Disney Plus, like some 6 years before that, he couldn't sue him. So anybody that's signed up for Disney Plus ever, there is a clause in their contract whenever you signed up for even a free trial of it that says you can never sue Disney for anything ever.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit, man. Yeah. That is some underhanded, sneaky shit right there.
Yeah. We've always just gotten the password from somebody else and used it for a minute, you know, if we wanted to watch Indiana Jones or something.
We should really start doing deep dives into those terms and conditions for some of the
shit. Oh, my God, dude. We're technically doing it with the Constitution and all that kind of stuff in our sovereignty group when we're running trusts and going through banking and things like this. We are technically doing that, but the terms and conditions would be even better. And I think
you consent to submit yourself to a simulation within a simulation and to be trapped there for an eternity.
How many times do you think you sign something like that? And maybe every time you accidentally sign up for Disney Plus in a realm, you get deeper into the next reset. They're like, shit, yeah, we got another one. Damn, we got to start reading these terms and conditions, folks.
Sure do, man.
We get trapped in this bitch anymore. So coming back to your film also, I just wanted to kind of touch on a couple of the folks you had in there, legendary, star-studded performances by these guys. I mean, Adam Butler, who we're going to shout out here, dear friend of the show. Also, of course, Carlos Tanner. It was nice to see him in there, too. I was just like, holy shit, my psychedelic boys. how was that? Getting them, you know, I just curious about that whole interaction with taping for them and all that.
It's kind of funny because they were kind of somewhat last minute additions. And it was Carlos Tanner, we discussed it before the interview. In fact, that whole interview was for the film. But he was a later addition. I had to get in touch with him and film that interview. But Adam Butler, I just loved his story so much after the interview that I did with him. I called him up. I was like, dude, do you want to be in this documentary? I'll just use, you know, clips of your interview and splice you in there. It was great. And yeah, he was excited about it. And I was stoked at what he had to add for that.
Dude, yeah. Adam, of course, our resident DMT expert. Have you done DMT?
I have, and the first experience was, you know, beautiful, wonderful. I didn't have that exit experience. Yeah. I didn't have the breakthrough, but the second one was very uncomfortable. I couldn't get to the second hit. It was so uncomfortable. I guess I wasn't in the right state of mind or something. Yeah. And I was like, I just never went back to it after that.
Got you. Salvia?
No. I've heard too many horror stories on that.
So you've never tried it ever?
I've heard the story of what? Who was it? The comedian that went into a fish world for like 6 months and then came back and was traumatized because he missed his fish family and didn't know how to breathe air anymore. Fuck that. I know.
Yeah. I had Dr. Rick Strassman on, you know, the DMT spirit molecule guy. And I asked him about salvia and he said, ooh, that's bizarre. I loved his word for it. Bizarre is the word for it, dude. It's insane. I've only done it once. And same thing. I may go back in there, but it was just weird, dude. Everybody instantly turned into those sculpting puppets, the wooden ones with no faces, and they all started folding in half. Like everywhere there was a joint on their arm, it would fold, and then that would fold like paper. Oh. And then they just kept folding up into smaller and smaller pieces. It was really trippy. Plus, whenever you do it, the song, it's kind of like Whippets to where my experience was. To where when you do a whip it, if there's a song on a CD or the radio that you're listening to or something like this, it'll skip at that note and just play that note and repeat. while you're in the trip, and then when you come back out of it, it rejoins the song. Have you ever experienced this?
I've experienced it a little bit on mushrooms, but to the extremes of like not just the song, but everything in my reality would go boop, boop, in a, like a little loop until it caught up to itself. Yeah.
So what's up with that? What do you think that is? Do you think you literally jump out of time and it just sort of holds your place for you and then you come back to it?
I do. I think that we're bilocating sometimes whenever we're having these experiences. We're stepping out of space and time, but there's some kind of mechanism that keeps us, like, I guess, protected in that, to where we can't just float off into nowhere. We're always sucked right back in, and it all reality forms. And I've had experiences where my whole reality literally fell apart. Like everything just started falling apart. I felt myself falling apart. The universe fell apart. And then once it was like separate and I was like in this peaceful puddle of goo, it just went and everything formed back together. It's like some weird mechanism to where you can just completely fall apart into nothing and be fractalized to infinity. And then when it's ready, once you've experienced what you needed to out there, you just form right back into where you were.
Damn. I'm writing Peaceful Puddle of Goo down as a good band name. Okay. Dude, fascinating. So you've hinted a little bit at the next film, but is there anything that you want to talk about the next project? Maybe I don't want to give you a timeline or anything. I don't expect that, but just
It's going to be about a year till this one comes out. And I don't really want to give any of the new people that we have that are going to be participating. That's going to be a little secret.
Cool.
But Brandon will definitely be making an appearance back in this one. We're going to have a couple of the OGs from part one come back, and it's going to expand on everything. We're going to go just a little deeper into each of the things that we touched on, and we're going to go a little darker too for some of it, because this needs to be discussed. You know, we touched on a few of the dark things, the alien abduction, the possibilities of where we're at in our reality, but we didn't really go deep. And in this one, we're going to have to disturb some people a little bit and go deep, but we're going to bring them back out and into the light for the end of the movie. So, I don't really storyboard these. I don't really have, a point A to B, storyline pre-written for these. I just let the people that participate in the film, let the authors, researchers, experiencers, people that I interview tell the story, and then I form it from what they bring to the table. You know, I may have a basic idea. I want to go from dreams to, altered states to alien abduction to this, and that's going to be my basic outline. But where it goes within that, it depends on the information coming from you guys that are telling the story, basically. So I'm interested to see how it'll come out too.
I love that. What a great process, because then you're in surrender at the same time you're creating. You don't have an outcome to be disappointed by not reaching, because that's just silly, right? What's the saying? If you want to make a plan, if you want to make God laugh, make a plan. And a plan is just a list of things that don't happen. I like those.
I was terrified. I did that with the first one, and I was like, this is never going to come together in a coherent story. I don't know what I'm doing. And that's why the way I felt in the beginning of this one, too. I was like, where the hell is this going? This is not going to be coherent. It's not going to be put together. But by the end, I watched it all, and I was like, how the fuck did that happen? It just like ended up flowing for some reason.
So. You're in conjunction with the muse, man. You're walking side by side with her. Like you really, and you appreciate that, and she appreciates you. I'm telling you, that's a beautiful, Molly gets it. We're artists, man. We get this. It's right. That's a frequency thing, dude. It's just locked in.
Yeah.
That's why that movie wasn't going to get made. It was waiting on you to be ready to make it. And just as the rest is all your other films. They're just really unique, man. Again, and I know that we were talking beforehand here about your B-roll footage, like Jen's in the movie. Everything's really cool. Again, the way you did it was phenomenal. I'm looking forward to going at the next level, and thank you for including the dark. You know, it's so necessary, just as I do. It's the same thing here, man. It's just like the cap behind you there. It's a two-party system here, dark and light. So we got to bathe in both.
That's it, man. That's it. Well, thank you, brother, for letting me come and plug my shiz for a little while and get weird with you once again. And thank you, Molly. Man, mesmerized. It's wonderful.
Molly, both of us were sitting down here just watching you. I could see both of us just going, oh, my God, that is so cool. And she's going to, don't worry about getting clay on your thing. You don't have to say anything if you don't want. Oh, she's in the mute.
It's okay. I'm already unmuted.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It's incredible. Can I ask you a question besides that one?
Yeah.
What happens to the clay and the water in the bottom of that pin when you're done with it?
In the bottom of here?
Yeah.
So I have this like Home Depot bucket over here behind my wheel, and I just like dump it all in there. And then once I like accumulate enough, I can set it out on a plaster board to dry, and then I can like recycle it as new clay.
Huh. Yeah.
That's what
I thought, goes back into the primordial clay ooze of the universe.
Yeah, but it's got little bits of all the energy of all the rest of the things made. All the projects, she's dripped all the water, you know, and water is very emotive, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you again, Molly, for joining us. This is so cool. Guys, link down below, as well as our featured guest here, Chris Matthew, website, socials, his film, and Corey Hughes and his book, link down below. Looking forward to that film as well, guys. So go check that down in the show description, as well as Molly B. Pottery down there. Get you a mug. It says Molly B. on the bottom, but I'm not going to show you and spill it all over myself. But thank you to both these incredible folks. Chris, before we let you run here, what gets you out of bed every morning keeps you moving forward, brother?
Knowing that what I'm doing here is not just some meaningless blip in our existence, that I'm connected to something greater, and each and every person that I come into contact in this reality is also serving that purpose. And then once we connect with each other, it's like we're going to form this neural net web of not a hive mind, but a sovereign-minded community that is going to break out of this bitch somehow. And that's where I'm at.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.